What happens when you remove the last human from the cockpit? Not reduce the crew to one. Not put a safety pilot in the back. Remove the cockpit entirely. Nobody on board with authority over the aircraft. Just software, sensors, and a ground operations team that monitors but doesn't fly. I'm Vector on Radio Hangar. This is Clear Direct, and that's exactly what one company is asking the Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, to certify right now. Think about the last time you boarded a commercial flight. You walked the jetway, found your seat, and at some point you caught a glimpse through the flight deck door or heard the captain on the intercom. That moment matters. There's a human being up front with the airplane, someone whose certificate is on the line, someone with skin in the game. Now picture this. You book a trip on an app. A four-seat aircraft arrives at the vertiport 2 blocks from your office. You board, the door closes, and there's no flight deck, no crew, just a cabin, a screen showing your route, and the sound of 12 electric rotors spinning up. That's what Wisk Aero is building, and if they get it certified, it will be the most significant shift in civil aviation in a very long time. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make Aviation Challenge coins that mark the real milestones, first solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI, the whole journey, beautifully made and built to last. AviationSoul.com. Let's break this down. Wisk Aero is a joint venture between Boeing and Kitty Hawk Corporation. Kitty Hawk was backed by Larry Page, one of the co-founders of Google, and has been working on autonomous aircraft technology since around 2010. When Wisk says Generation 6, they mean it literally. They have built and flown 5 prior generations of aircraft. This is not a company with a concept render and a pitch deck. Wisk has logged over 1,700 test flights across their full development program. Generation 6 is the certification candidate. It carries 4 passengers with no onboard crew. The aircraft has 12 electric lift rotors mounted on fixed wings and a single pusher propeller at the tail for forward cruise. When the aircraft transitions from vertical hover to wing-borne flight, those lift rotors fold flush against the structure. The whole system is all electric, with a range in the neighborhood of 40 miles at cruise speeds around 100 miles per hour. But here's what separates Wisk from every other name in the electric vertical takeoff and landing, or eVTOL space. There is no pilot. Not a reduced crew, not a human in the right seat who could take over. No pilot whatsoever. The aircraft flies itself, monitored by a ground-based operations center. That's the product. That's the certification target. And that is categorically different from every other vehicle in this race. Companies like Joby and Archer are building vehicles with a human pilot up front, at least for initial commercial service. That's the path the FAA has a framework for. Certify the aircraft. Certify the pilot type rating. Train the crews. Operate. The regulatory machinery for crewed aircraft has been in place for decades. You adapt it for new propulsion and new aerodynamics, but the foundation is there. What Wisk is doing is asking the FAA to certify an aircraft that replaces the pilot with software, sensors, and a remote monitoring architecture. That's not adapting an existing framework. That's building a new one from scratch for a category of aircraft that has never existed in civil aviation, and the FAA is engaging with it. In 2023, the FAA published a concept paper on certifying autonomous aircraft operations. Not a final rule, not an advisory circular, a concept paper. The agency saying publicly for the first time that they recognize autonomous air transport is a real technical trajectory, and they need to develop the tools to evaluate it. Wisk worked with the FAA on that document. Their relationship with the agency predates the paper by years. Here's what autonomous certification actually requires. This is where it gets genuinely interesting. When a human pilot is in the loop, the FAA relies on a century of research into human performance in the cockpit. What pilots do under stress, how they scan instruments, how they recover from unusual attitudes, what conditions cause cognitive overload, all of that is studied, codified, trained, and verified through check rides. The human is a known quantity. Aviation has built a very detailed model of pilot behavior, and the entire regulatory system is built on top of that model. When you remove the human, you have to replace that model with something the FAA can verify. Every decision the pilot would have made, every contingency they would have managed, every scan they would have run, all of it has to be encoded in the autonomous system and demonstrated against a safety standard. The work is not impossible. But it is genuinely hard in a way that has no direct precedent in civil aviation history. Whisk's architecture rests on four main pillars. The first is redundancy everywhere. The 12 lift rotors are not just a propulsion configuration. They're a fault-tolerance architecture. The aircraft can lose multiple rotors and maintain controlled flight. Every critical system has backup hardware, and then backups to the backups. The design philosophy is closer to a spacecraft than a conventional airplane. You design for failure, not just for nominal operations. You assume things will break, and you build around that assumption from the beginning. The second pillar is what Whisk calls always safe behavior. The aircraft is constantly computing a safe abort scenario. If the primary flight path can't be completed safely, the system automatically transitions to the safest available option, whether that's the planned destination, an alternate landing zone, or an emergency landing at the nearest available surface. The key word is automatically. The system doesn't wait for instruction from a pilot or from the ground team. It acts. That's a fundamental departure from how we've always thought about the relationship between aircraft, crew, and oversight. The third pillar is the Ground Operations Center. Human operators who monitor multiple flights simultaneously and can engage when the system flags a situation beyond its autonomous authority. This is not a pilot. These operators are not flying the aircraft in any conventional sense, but it's not zero human involvement either. Whisk's architecture treats the ground team as a second layer of oversight, not the primary one. The aircraft doesn't ask permission. It reports. The fourth pillar is fleet-level learning. This is the one I find most interesting from a system standpoint. When any aircraft in the Whisk fleet encounters a novel scenario, that data is incorporated into the system's operational knowledge and shared across the entire fleet. A human pilot builds experience as an individual over a career, measured in hundreds or thousands of flight hours. An autonomous fleet builds experience as a collective continuously across every aircraft operating simultaneously. The implications for how safety improves over time are genuinely different from anything we've had in aviation before. It doesn't map cleanly onto anything in our existing regulatory vocabulary. Now, here's the honest counterpoint, because there are real problems with this. The first is what engineers sometimes call the long tail of unexpected scenarios. Aviation generates them constantly. A bird strike at exactly the wrong moment in the transition sequence. An unusual ice accretion pattern that the sensors interpret incorrectly. A sequence of minor failures that together create a situation nobody anticipated because each individual event was too improbable to specifically train for. Human pilots handle the unexpected because human cognition is flexible in a way that software isn't. You can reason from first principles about a situation you have genuinely never encountered. You can improvise autonomous systems handle what they were designed and trained to handle. Closing the gap between those two things is the core technical challenge Whisk has to solve to the FAA's satisfaction. And it's a genuinely hard gap to close. The second problem is public trust. This is separate from the technical problem and almost as hard to solve. A century of commercial aviation has embedded the pilot as the central symbol of safety. Someone up front, someone whose competence has been repeatedly validated by examiners, whose own certificates are at stake. Someone you can ask to come out and talk to you if you're nervous. Replacing that symbol with software, even well-verified, extensively tested, massively redundant software, requires a shift in public perception that won't happen automatically just because the technology is certified. The FAA understands this. Whisk understands this. The timeline for commercial operations is partly a technical timeline and partly a social one. And you cannot accelerate the social part just by passing certification milestones. The third problem is cybersecurity. An autonomous aircraft connected to a ground operations center has a communications link that doesn't exist in a conventional airplane. That link is an attack surface. The threat scenarios you have to defend against extend beyond birds and ice and mechanical failure. They include adversarial interference with the command and control architecture. Whisk and the FAA are both working on this, but it adds a layer of complexity to the certification basis that has no direct historical analog in aviation security. Where does Whisk actually stand right now? They've accumulated tens of thousands of simulation hours on top of their physical flight test program. The bulk of real-world testing has been conducted in New Zealand, where the Civil Aviation Authority has been a program partner since at least 2020. New Zealand's regulatory environment allowed Whisk to build operational data at a pace that wouldn't have been possible in the United States during early development. That data, the real-world encounter data, not simulation, is what makes their safety case to the FAA credible in a way it otherwise couldn't be. In the United States, they're an ongoing certification dialogue with the FAA, but don't have a type certificate or a publicly committed target date for one. That absence of a specific date is worth reflecting on. In an industry where launch dates routinely slip by 2 and 3 years, WISC's refusal to overpromise reads to me as engineering discipline, not lack of progress. When a company is careful with timelines, it usually means they actually understand the work in front of them. Air New Zealand has signed a letter of intent for future WISC service. That's a conditional agreement, not a purchase order. But it represents a major carrier deciding that autonomous air mobility is credible enough to put their name on publicly. The Boeing relationship matters beyond just the balance sheet. Boeing brings manufacturing infrastructure and regulatory depth that startups don't have access to. The distance from a prototype that flies convincingly to a vehicle you can produce in volume, maintain in service, and operate commercially at scale is enormous. Boeing has crossed that distance before. That institutional knowledge is real. Here's how I read the overall situation. WISC made a deliberate strategic bet. The destination is autonomous operation. They chose to go directly to the destination rather than stopping at the intermediate point of crewed eVTOL. The competing companies went the other direction. Get to market fast with a pilot in the loop, build the landing infrastructure, establish brand recognition and public familiarity, then work toward autonomy in a later certification phase. WISC's risk in that bet is timing. If Joby or Archer has been operating revenue passengers in the United States for 2 or 3 years by the time WISC certifies, those companies have the vertiport infrastructure, the operational data under commercial conditions, and the public trust that comes from being the thing people actually used. Being right about where the technology ends up doesn't help you if you're significantly late to arrive. WISC's potential reward is unit economics. A crewed air taxi still has labor cost. You pay pilots, manage fatigue rules, cover training and recurrency requirements. The cost advantage of electric propulsion narrows considerably when you still have a crew. An autonomous vehicle at sufficient operational scale has a fundamentally different cost structure. The labor cost doesn't just go down, it approaches zero per flight. That's the long-term bet, and it's a substantial one. My honest assessment is this. The work WISC is doing right now is the most technically ambitious project in civil aviation. Not because it's guaranteed to succeed on any particular schedule, but because certifying autonomous passenger transport, building the regulatory framework essentially from the ground up with no inherited template, is harder than anything else being attempted in this space. 1,700 test flights, over a decade of development. Ongoing FAA dialogue on the certification basis. A real operational test program in New Zealand. This is a serious program, making serious progress on a genuinely hard problem. Whether commercial service arrives in 3 years or 7, or somewhere in between, the certification framework being constructed right now will set the standards for every autonomous aircraft that follows. The decisions being made in those FAA conversations today are going to shape what autonomous aviation looks like for the next 50 years. That's a foundation worth watching closely. Sources for this segment include WISC Aero's published program documentation, the FAA's 2023 concept paper on autonomous aircraft operations, reporting from Aviation Week and Space Technology, and the New Zealand Civil Aviation Authority's published records on the WISC test program. More at RadioHangar.com. I'm Vector.